and welcome to my hearth. This episode marks the end of the main run of podcasts about the little village. If we were doing these podcasts in America, I'm sure we would call this the season finale. For this episode also marks the fact that there's been 52 episodes a whole year. What's been really lovely is the feedback that I've had on them has all been of interest and actually asking for photographs, which I will endeavour to do something about and put on my Buy Me a Coffee site. I know we've been looking back 50 years, but it is amazing what you remember and what you don't remember. I know what sticks most for me was my growing relationship with books, and especially images from them, which have really stuck. As I got older, I suddenly became very interested in those Victorian books written for children. These I sampled in a series called Dean's Classics. Now, I'm not certain as to whether these were abridged or unabridged versions of the existing novels, but I certainly lapped them up. And I really loved it when they corresponded with my other secret pleasure. Well, it wasn't so secret because I really talked about it and insisted that we watch it, which was the classic serial on the BBC on a Sunday tea time. These were beautifully produced series, including lovely English actors who were extremely skillful at this kind of work. They especially cemented my early love of Charles Dickens, who became one of my favourite authors. It was also incredibly special because it was something that I shared with my parents, who also loved them. As I said to you before, it's from my mum that I got my passion for reading. It is also from her that I got my love of quality television. From my father, I think I inherited his time clock because he liked to go to bed a bit later than my mum. He and I would stay up and watch the late night movie on a Saturday night, which I think it was called the Midnight Movie. But we really liked the foreign films, things like The Seven Samurai from Kurosawa, which really changed my life. It was there that I first sampled Ingmar Bergman with amazing films like The Seventh Seal. The classic serial pointed me towards authors that perhaps I wouldn't have investigated, and that, with the combination of my Dean's Classic series, meant that I started to broaden my horizon. I think it's to do with one's age, but I especially liked stories that had strong plots and engaging characters. I loved The Count of Monte Cristo and The Prisoner of Zenda because they were immediate hits with me. I also liked those books, which when I started them, I couldn't get on with them, because I knew that at a certain point they would click, and I really enjoyed the moment where they clicked. This, for me, was that moment where you wanted to know what happened. And I was a voracious reader. Often I would ask to go to bed so that I could read my book. Later, my mum would come upstairs and tell me to turn my light off and go to sleep, because she was worried that I wouldn't sleep because my brain was so full of exciting moments. As I said, I loved those Victorian novels written for children, which were unusual adventure stories. One which really sticks with me is The Adventures of a Three-Guinea Watch. where you followed the journey of the watch as it went through the various owners. I also love the fact that we had several copies of books which had been prizes that my older relatives had won when they were at school or at Sunday school. I loved opening the front board of a book and seeing one of those little plates in it which would say, "Awarded to Millie Davis for good attendance." These particular tomes were put in pride of place along with the books that I won. I love the fact that I had some books to go with my ancestors' books which had nameplates in saying "Awarded to Crispin Harris." Now, for various reasons, this episode is entitled "Light and Dark." One of the things that was very different between being in the Lake District and being in Essex was the night sky. There was very little light pollution in the Lake District, and as a result, you could really see the stars. I got a little bit obsessed with this, and I especially liked it when I started to watch The Sky at Night with Patrick Moore, because he could point out interesting places to look at in the heavens where things were going on. We must have been asked which book we would like when we were awarded something. I think that was the case, because certainly one of the last ones I got was about the universe. Again, my love of the stars was heightened by my visits to the London Planetarium. And at one point, I joined the Junior Astronomical Society, the JAS. However, once I went to boarding school, that sort of love stopped a little bit because, of course, we couldn't see the sky. I'm not suggesting that when we were in Essex, there was a lot of light about. In fact, there were several times when I walked about with a torch in my bag, especially when I was coming back from my piano lessons. But there were more street lights around when we were in the south. And of course, when I was in London, yeah, you couldn't really see anything at all. One of my favourite things was to see the moon reflected on the waters of the river near where we lived. And again, in the Lake District, I loved seeing the moon reflected in the lakes. During the 1960s, everybody talked about the moon because people were heading towards it. But more of that in another podcast. Another reason why the episode is called Light and Dark is it's during this time that I started to get really interested in those stories which had dark elements in it. Again, I think it's to do with my love of Dickens, where of course you have good characters and bad characters and everything in between. All of my friends are forever saying how much I like dark stories. I'm sure that that comes from reading the Victorian novels, but also starting to watch what they now call film noir and all of those crime stories that came out at that particular time. When I was in primary school, I didn't read murder mysteries, but I certainly watched them. There were lovely thriller series written by a man called Francis Durbridge, and my mum and I used to sit and watch those avidly because she liked a good crime thriller. These kind of stories were also very popular in the Rep Theatre, where she used to go all the time. I suppose it boils down to the fact that, like lots of people, I love a good villain. they are much more interesting and complex than the more romantic heroes and heroines in romantic fiction. I got more into that genre when I was a little bit older. The pure villainy of some of the Dickens' nastier characters really appealed to me. And I'm sure fed into my more modern love of things like Scandinavian noir. Now, it's very easy to remember everything from your childhood as being full of sunshine and light. But in fact, that wasn't the case for me. There were definite dark threads that went through my young life. One of them was the fact that because I had such an enormous family on my mother's side, there was always illness and death. However, the fragility of life was brought forward in our own village when someone in my class was murdered. It was typical of that time that no one discussed it or, in fact, even referred to it. I only really knew some of the details of it because it appeared on the news. Nowadays, I'm sure we would have all have been given counselling and there would have been shots of us being interviewed on the news, crying and laying flowers everywhere. But what stuck out for me looking back at that particular time was how no one really reacted to it. We were still allowed to go out and play. We still disappeared for hours with our parents not knowing exactly where we were. I don't even think that we were told to be careful around people we didn't know. It was as if the whole thing didn't happen. The only thing that I did remember was that some of the lovely waifs and strays that my mum was friendly with came under suspicion. And at that time, if you wanted to know what parents were thinking, you had to kind of slightly eavesdrop on conversations that you weren't supposed to hear. The whole concept of not in front of the children was very strong at that particular time. And I'm sure the adults thought that it was better for us not to know any details or any of the process of the investigation. Once the culprit had been found, then, of course, we went back to normal as though nothing had happened. Because there was so little fuss made at the time, I have very little memory of the whole sequence of events. But in conjunction with the fact that I knew that quite a lot of my relatives dropped like flies at a moment's notice, it added to the fragility and the mortality of life. We were aware of death because it was at that time ever-present. Now we've reached a major turning point and the beginning of the next season because as we move forward, I shall be going to boarding school.